Praise God. Okay, praise God. We'll maybe wait just a few more minutes to see as the rest of the people come upstairs here. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been a beautiful day so far. A little cool out there, but it's been nice. Sunny out. Sun is always nice. Amen. Well, I wanted to let everyone know that if you could keep Shirley in your prayers, because she fell going for a walk and she fractured her arm right here, yeah. So she's going to continue to try to even play the piano with one hand, believe it or not. And so praise God for that. Yeah. Okay. Why don't we just go ahead and pray and give this over to the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we give you all the praise, glory, and the honor. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in the hearts of everyone, everywhere, Lord God. Leading, guiding, and directing our lives. Filled with the Holy Ghost, though, Lord God. Teach us, lead us, guide us, help us. Reveal to us the truth, though, God, the Word of God. By the Spirit of God, under the blood we pray, Lord God. I pray that you would lead, God, and direct us today, and that you would bless the worship and the praise today, Lord God, that you would help Shirley with her one arm today, Lord God. I pray that you would help Sam as he gets up here today, Lord. When he comes up with a message, Lord God, I pray that you would help him today, that you would bless him, Lord God. Oh, dear God, I pray that you would lead, God, and direct the whole thing. Let your name be glorified, magnified, honored, Lord God, for there is nothing less that we could do, nothing less that we should do, but to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. I pray, Lord, that you would be here with us today now. Walk the aisles of every heart. Oh, Lord, convince and convict of sin. Reveal. Open our eyes, ears, and hearts, O Lord God, to know the truth, to see the truth, to hear the truth, to understand the truth, O God. By thy Spirit, Lord God, we pray, under the blood of Jesus. Lord God, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. You know, I want to preface something here today. Before we even get into the songs, I want to read something out of Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. It's very important that people see this. Here it says, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied. Now, this is in the early days of the early church going on here. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, I want you to see something here. In verse 2, it says what? Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, I want you to know, this is every bit as true today as it was then. It is no less true today as it was then. I want you to know that God uses people filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Even for menial things, even for small tasks, have you noticed they call out men filled with the Holy Ghost? People filled with the Holy Ghost and with wisdom to do a work for God. Now, people, we're supposed to be a Holy Ghost church. We're supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit of Christ. And today, the churches are supposed to be Holy Ghost churches filled with people of the Holy Ghost. It is no less today than it was then. Are we seeking after the Holy Ghost? Are we being filled? Are we being proved in our daily lives to walk with honest report, above reproach? Amen. Living for Christ. Well, I'm hoping that we can, with this preface, go to number 7 in the hymn book. Let the Holy Ghost come in. I'll wait for Shirley's cue. Would you be redeemed from every bread of sin? Hath the Holy Spirit constantly within? Make the consecration, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Make a consecration, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Would you have the Spirit in your heart to cheer? Would you be relieved from every doubt and fear? Make the consecration, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Make the consecration, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Do you want the fire of God fill your soul? Burn up all the dross and sanctify the whole. Make the consecration, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Make the consecration, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Do you want the fire of God to fill your soul? Dross, defy the way. Patient, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Make the consecration, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost sing God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Well, praise God. I kind of struggled through that song. We haven't sung that ever. Not since, 3 years now. Wow. So bear with me as I kind of learn the keys too. Praise God. But there's another song that we haven't sung in quite a while. It's called I Will Praise Him, number 46. If you could go there with me, we'll sing that. Number 46, I will praise Him. And that's why we're coming to church, isn't it? To praise God, to glorify His name, to magnify Him. Amen. To forget about the world, forget about your past, forget about what you're going through. If you praise God, if you give Him all your troubles, He'll make things turn around for you. Amen. He knows how to turn things around in your life. And that's what we need. And we need power, strength, might, inspiration by the Holy Ghost, by the Lord God in heaven, Jesus, the one true Redeemer. Amen? He can cover us, lead us, guide us, and direct us in all that is right, good, well, and true. Amen. Let's go there. Open wide for all my sin. I obeyed the Spirit in its wooing, and He said, wilt thou be clean? I will praise Him. I will praise Him, praise the Lamb of sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Though the way seems straight and narrow, I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet ashes lay. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb of sinners. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Then God's fire upon the altar of my heart was set aflame. I shall never cease to praise Him. Glory, glory to His name. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb of sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm so glad He took me in. He's forgiven all my transgressions. He has cleansed my hurt from sin. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb of sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the soul. Glory, glory to the Spirit. glory to the three in one. I will praise Him, I will praise Him, praise the Lamb of sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for the blood can wash away each stain. I will praise Him, I will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Glory to the Lord God in heaven. Now we're going to sing a song that it's called Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Yes. If the Lord is going to have His own way in your life, that means He's going to use you in ways you never thought you would be used. And He's going to teach you ways that you didn't think you would be taught. And He's going to convict and convince. And He's going to use the fire of His Word. And the fire of His Word is going to crack and crackle and flame and burn through your soul when you allow the Word of God into you. You allow the Word of God to teach you, to mentor you, to show you, to reveal God's purpose and plan in your life. How we need that leading and guiding. The Spirit of God is the Word of God. Did you know that? That is the Word of God. The Spirit of God. The more you read the Word of God, the more the Spirit of God you get in you. Amen. We all need to be filled with that Word. Filled with the Spirit of God. Trusting God through everything that we go through in life. We now live in the end days. Things are about to take a turn. April, God knows what's going to happen. Only God knows. But God's in charge. He's in charge. We have our hope in Him. But listen, we're not to worry and fret and fear, are we? We're to allow God to have His way in our lives so that we can walk and talk and do and be as is according to His perfect will for your life. And He'll cover you with the blood of Jesus. He'll give you the wisdom you need when you pray for it. He upbraideth not those that ask for wisdom. Amen. But more than that, we need the power to live in this life, to live without sin. We do sin, but listen, we can overcome sin. We can overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We can overcome. That doesn't mean that we're not going to fail. That doesn't mean that we don't fail. We do every day, don't we? God help us all. But we need His help to overcome. To not live, we don't have to live there. We don't have to dwell there. We don't have to wallow in sin, do we? Not willful sin. If you sin, we have an advocate, the Father. Abba, Father. We go to Him. Amen. And He's able to forgive us our sins when we confess to Him what we've done. We have an advocate. But at the same time, the Lord is helping us to walk, what? Above reproach. To come up higher, to higher ground. So that we don't dwell there. If you're doing something out of habitually sinning, that's a willful sin. That's not of God. So if you find yourself doing something that you know is wrong and you still do it without repenting, then there's a problem with that. Allow the Lord to have His way in your life, to make you, mold you, and shape you into the person that you ought to be. Amen. Let's go there. Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and shape me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and shape me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still.
Praise God. Yielded and still. Waiting on the Lord daily. Seeking Him. Trusting Him. Amen. There's no other way. No other way at all. Amen. Praise God in heaven. Now let's sing one more song here called The Windows of Heaven. It's called The Windows of Heaven Are Open. The Savior is calling tonight. Is He calling you? And if He is, are you listening? Are you hearing? Are you willing? Are you obedient? The big question on Judgment Day is going to be not whether you said something, but when you purposed in your heart to follow the Lord, when you obeyed. That's where the big difference maker is. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's the big fork in the road right there. What did you decide to do and purpose in your heart? And did you follow through with that? Did you obey the Word of God? Amen. The Bible calls us to repentance. Are we repented? Do we walk with repentance in our heart? Do we walk with humility, with a sober-mindedness? Amen? We need to be sober-minded in these days, in these end days, when the world is going to hell in a handbasket. There's only going to be a few people out there who will have the wherewithal, the sanity, and the strength to overcome the wicked and the wiles of the devil, the enemy, all around you. Are you going to be prepared? I promise you that. It's going to happen in your lifetime. Be ready. The day is, the hour is at hand. And when you see these things happening, look up, for redemption draweth nigh. Look up. It's just around the corner. Jesus is going to come back, and it's not going to be some major event. He's going to come back as a thief in the night. And all the world is going to be wallowing and dancing around their golden calves. And will people be ready? Will people be ready to give an account for their life? Wow. We need to trade in that tattered garment in this life and put on the robe of righteousness that only Christ can give. Walk in holiness and strength and purpose and plan. Walk in the plan that God has for you. Walk in His will, in His way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's do that. Amen. The windows of heaven are open. Okay, we'll try a different key, I'm sorry. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white, and I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. Now I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Praise God in heaven. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glorify His name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, well, going to go ahead and take up our tithes and offerings. If I could have either Chuck or Rob, one of you, come up, if you'd be gracious to do so, to do that for me. Thank you. Okay. All right, praise God. And if anybody has anything that they would care to share, a word of encouragement, edification, comfort, strength, exhortation, please feel free to raise your hand. A word from anyone here online at all, please feel free. A testimony, glorifying God. Prayer needs. Anybody have a prayer need? Yes, sir, brother.
Uh-huh. I want to thank God publicly and you all for having him.
Oh, praise God. Amen, brother. Well, it's good to have you here. And by the way, I hope that you can make it back along with Roger and whoever else you might care to bring. And it's a pleasure to have you here. And you're more than welcome. And thank you for being so kind with your words. So, praise God. We'll just go ahead now and also keep Shirley in your prayers. She hurt her arm there, fractured her arm. And we will keep her in prayer. As a matter of fact, I want to pray for her even now. And if anyone here has anything else, please feel free to raise your hand as well. But let's agree together in prayer, giving this over to the Lord. Let's pray for Shirley, for the offering, for the service. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor right now. And Lord, we pray for Shirley's arm, Lord God. The blood of Christ, the oil of healing, oh Lord God, that would the balm of Gilead would heal that arm, Lord God, we pray. Take away the pain. Take away the surge of pain. Help her to make the adjustments she needs. Heal her quickly, Lord God. And heal her surely, O Lord Jesus, as sure as you are there in heaven. Lord, with your power of thy right hand, we know that you are well able to heal and keep all those, Lord God, that are in your care. So we give surely into your care, Lord God, to heal that arm, to heal that area that's fractured, Lord God. And we pray that you would do a job, Lord God, that would glorify your name, that people would praise and glorify you for it, Lord God, for what you've done, what you're going to do, what you are doing, not only in Shirley's life, but in all our lives, all together here. Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor now. I pray for the tithes, the gifts, and the offerings, O Lord, that you would use it for your purpose, plan, and glory. Lord God, that you would help us to continue to be good stewards of thy monies that come into this place, O Lord God. I pray that you would help us to continue to serve you unswervingly, Lord God, without compromise, Lord God, to speak, to preach the truth, the word of God, by the Holy Ghost. I pray, O Lord God, that you'd be here with Sam as he comes up here, that you'd anoint his message, O Lord God, that you'd help Sam. Bless him, Lord God. This we pray in Jesus' name under the blood. Amen. Praise God. Yes, sir. Amen, brother. Yes. Amen. The Holy Ghost. We should be filled with the Holy Ghost daily. The Holy Ghost. That's what we need daily. The Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, brother.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's so good to see all of you here this morning. And it's definitely much colder today than I was expecting it to be. I went outside and I just couldn't believe it. It's not supposed to be that cold on March 23rd. But praise the Lord. I'm going to praise Him when it's cold. I'm going to praise Him when it's hot. And I'm going to praise Him when it's a perfect 65 degrees. We had quite a day yesterday. I'm actually right now I'm in the process of writing a newsletter, and of course I had to prepare this message at the same time. And then yesterday we got a call that my mom had fallen, and we had to come over and take her to the emergency room, and we were there for quite some time. But I'm so thankful that the Lord has helped my mom and that things weren't worse. And I have to say I'm amazed that she can even play the piano one-handed. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I am so thankful for the many ways that God has helped us. I did want to mention right at the outset that my wife has expressed a desire to host a lunch here at the church, so we're planning to do that next week. She's going to make a turkey breast and bring some vegetables, and if you all can come, that would be great, and feel free to bring whatever you'd like. And we are hoping to just have a wonderful time in the Lord. Now, what I'd like to do is we're going to have a study today on something that's, I believe, very important. I'm going to call this message this morning, Be Ye Kind, because we're going to talk about kindness today, the kindness of our Savior, and the kindness that we all need to have in our lives. Before we get into the Word, I'd like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to study thy holy word. We ask, O God, that thy Holy Ghost would be here in each and every one of us, that thy spirit would flow. We ask, O God, that thy will would be done in each of our hearts and in each of our lives. We ask, O God, that thou wouldest give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. What I'd like to do to start off with is open to Ephesians chapter 4. And it was kind of amazing. Sometimes the Lord will just give you little confirmations. And you know, I tend to get very nervous before I have to come up here and preach. I haven't been doing this very long, and it's extraordinarily nerve-wracking for me. And you always hope and you pray that you're doing the right thing. And I believe that I am. And of course, this morning, I came over to the church, and I was marking off where I wanted to go in the scriptures, like I always do. And of course, the first place we're going to is Ephesians chapter 4. And I opened my Bible, and I opened right to Ephesians chapter 4, first thing. So I just had to smile about that. I love those little confirmations from the Lord. Actually, you know, sometimes the Lord helps us in small ways that you wouldn't even expect, really. I know this is going to sound like a very small thing, but a few weeks ago, you know, we bought a house last year, and there's a light in the hallway, and it burnt out for the first time, and we needed to replace the bulbs. And I got out the ladder, got out the light bulbs, got up there. I could not get that light fixture off. I couldn't believe it. It was on there so tight. I just, you know, I didn't know the last time those bulbs were changed, but it was really on there tight, and I couldn't believe it. I struggled with it for probably 10 minutes trying to get it off, and it wouldn't budge. So I went off somewhere feeling rather annoyed, and then I came back a little while later, and I just prayed, and I said, Lord, please help me get that fixture off. This is driving me nuts. And then as soon as I did that, I got up there on the ladder, and it came right off. So, you know, some people would say that's just a coincidence, but I don't think it was. Praise the Lord. Anyway, to start off with today, I'd like to go to Ephesians chapter 4. And this, of course, is a very wonderful chapter in the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it tells us, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And, of course, we know that this is the Apostle Paul who is writing this. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, when a church is operating the way it's supposed to, there's unity in that church. We're all of one mind and one accord. And the Spirit of God can flow properly when we're all of one mind and one accord, when there's unity and we're all working together. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. And, of course, we know from this chapter that and when it comes to God, it's always one, you know, there's one God, one Lord. And it tells us in verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6 tells us, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That grace from God is a gift. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. You know, we all have a role to play.
Amen.
In God's kingdom. We all have a part in it. And none of us are any better than anybody else. I'm not any better than any of you just because I'm standing up here. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And of course, we all know that we're all a work in progress. We all need that perfecting. But as you study the Word and as you seek God, He perfects you. He makes you better and stronger. He helps you. And that's what we all need. And that's one of the reasons we come here to this church to study the Word, for the perfecting of the saints. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now there are a lot of doctrines out there, and a lot of those doctrines are false. I just like to stay with the Scriptures. I believe what the Scriptures say. And I don't believe the Scriptures are confusing. God tells us, it tells us in the Word of God, that God is not the author of confusion. So, you know, if you do find yourself confused about something, just seek God until that answer is revealed to you. And if you seek Him with a pure and true heart, He will reveal those answers to you. But we can't be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. We need to just stick to the Bible, what the Bible says. If the Bible says it, I believe it. And you know, there are so many different denominations out there today, and it's a lot of confusion. You know, people, unbelievers, they look around at Christians sometimes, and they say, well, Christians can't even get along with other Christians. And of course, that looks bad. But if we just stick to the Word of God, the doctrines of the Bible will be right and will be in the truth, and that's what we need. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Of course, we're all a part of the body of Christ, and Christ is our head. We follow Him. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. You know, after you're converted into the kingdom of God, there's a change in your life and you don't behave the way you used to.
Right. Yeah.
You don't do the things you used to. You've given up sin. And there's a noticeable difference. You know, if you tell people that you're a Christian and they have a hard time believing it, then you know there's a problem. It should be evident. People should be able to feel the Spirit of God in you when just from you being nearby. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And that's really something, you know, to stop and think about that. The blindness of their heart. You know, in that situation, it's your spiritual eyes that can't see. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And of course, we know that the word lascivious, it means inclined to lustfulness, wanton, lewd. So that's what that word is referring to there. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You know, when you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, you rise to walk in newness of life, and you're dead to your old works, your old man. That's gone, that's washed away. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And our minds are renewed through Jesus Christ, through His truth, through His Holy Spirit. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Notice there, true holiness, not feigned holiness. And of course we know that the word holy means to be set apart. We all need to be set apart from the world. You know, if you feel comfortable in this world, if you feel like you belong here, then something's not right. Because friendship with the world is enmity with God. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. If there's one thing a Christian should never do, it's lie. We always need to tell the truth. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, sometimes there are legitimate reasons to be angry, but in my experience, it seems like most of the things that people get angry about aren't worth it. You know, there is such a thing as righteous indignation, but a lot of the time people get angry over petty and frivolous things. And I know there's a lot of road rage out there too, and there have been numerous times when I've been out driving and somebody does something stupid, you know, cuts me off, they do something rude, and I start to feel a little upset about it. But, you know, usually when that happens, I start to remember, you know, when I first got my driver's license several years ago, I was actually quite a poor driver, and I did a lot of stupid stuff. And, you know, when I feel myself getting angry at other drivers, I just remember, you know, I'm not perfect either. I've made mistakes, and thankfully, the Lord helped me in many situations and helped me avoid accidents. But, you know, even when people are, you know, doing stupid things on the road and being rude in that sense, it could just be that they weren't thinking when they should have been, and I've been there, and it really, when the Lord reminds me of that, it really, it kind of makes me feel ashamed that I'd even be angry about it. So praise the Lord for that. But it tells us in verse 16, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And I remember telling my wife before we were married that, you know, if we're ever mad at each other, we need to resolve that before we go to bed. We don't want to go to sleep angry, because if you go to sleep angry, that gives that anger a chance to fester and grow, and it causes all sorts of problems. So, you know, I always try to make sure that if we're upset with each other for any reason, we don't go to sleep that way. And that's some very good advice here from the Apostle Paul. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And that's something we all need to heed. Don't let the devil get a foothold in your life. You know, he tries to be sneaky. He just wants to get in there. If he gets in there a little bit, then he can start pushing you around. But if you don't even let him, if you don't let him in even the smallest way, he won't be able to manipulate you. He won't be able to force you to do things, or try to force you to do things that you don't want to do. And of course, we know that the scriptures tell us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, the words that come out of our mouth They matter. We need to watch what we say because God hears it all. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And this is the verse, that verse 32 is where I took my title for this message. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, you need to be kind one to another. And not just to the people here, but to everyone that we encounter along the way. It tells us to be tenderhearted. That's important too. You know, if you're hard-hearted, yeah, there won't be any hard hearts in heaven. We need to be tender-hearted, willing to forgive. God is so willing to forgive us, and if He can forgive us, surely we can forgive others. In fact, why don't we go over to Psalm 103? Psalm 103, I think, is probably my favorite psalm. It's one I keep coming back to over and over again because it's so reassuring. In Psalm 103, verse 1, it tells us, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." We see that again there, kindness. The Lord has kindness towards us, not that we deserve it. None of us deserve the kindness of the Lord, and yet He's kind towards us. He's forgiving towards us if we truly repent of our sins. "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Sometimes we forget, but all that food we eat, it's a gift from God. "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." I am so thankful that the Lord is so long-suffering, so patient, so slow to anger. You know, most people, if they could see what God sees, they would have lost patience with this world a long time ago. But the Lord is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. I am so thankful that He gave us all an opportunity to repent. And people out there who haven't repented yet, they still have that opportunity. As long as we're breathing, as long as time remains, there's an opportunity to repent. "He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." You can't get any farther away than that. As far as the east is from the west, He's taken our transgressions away. "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust." That's a very humbling thing. We're just the dust of the earth. You know, as human beings, we're pretty weak and frail. And God is merciful towards us. "As for man, his days are as grass, As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. You know, our lives here are only temporary. It's just a step before eternity. We're all going to leave this earth someday. We're going to go one place or the other. I want to get to heaven. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. You know, if we obey God's commandments, his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. For all eternity, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So we learn from this psalm that not only is God willing to forgive us our sins if we truly repent, but he acts kindly towards us. We don't deserve that. Yet he does it anyway. What I want to do now is look at some of the examples of kindness in Jesus' ministry. I'd like to go to the Gospel of John. Chapter 8. And we're going to see a great example of kindness from our Savior. In John chapter 8, verse 1, it tells us, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. So they went out and found a woman who they could accuse, who they could bring before Jesus. They wanted to see what Jesus would do, how he'd get out of this one. You know, it's really amazing when you read this chapter. These Pharisees were so hard-hearted that it's quite obvious they wanted to stone this woman. They wanted to kill her, and you know, that kind of reminds me of Islam today. They do a lot of stoning, which is a very horrible thing. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. And I'm sure that drove them nuts. He just stooped down on the ground, and he was writing something. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And you know, the way some people are today, I think if they had been there when Jesus said that, they probably would have picked up rocks and said, We'll get her for you, Jesus. A lot of people, they act very self-righteous these days. But Jesus had great plans for this woman. She was going to be redeemed and forgiven. He could see her heart. He knew that she had a repentant heart. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. You know, one by one they realized, hey, we have no right to stone this woman. We're not without sin. Their conscience, it nagged at them and they couldn't do it. They couldn't pick up those stones. And we need to be kind towards others, even those who might still be sinners. We don't want to stone them and condemn them. Just tell them the truth. Tell them they need to repent, but don't act self-righteous toward them. Because we were all at that point at one time or another, and we all needed the forgiveness of our Savior, the mercy of our Savior. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Actually, being left alone with the Lord Jesus is a wonderful thing. That's something we should all desire, to just be alone with Jesus sometimes, you know. And then I know in reading the scriptures, it was actually very common for Jesus to go off by himself and pray, and sometimes we all need that, to just be alone with Jesus. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And that's something that he did for each and every one of us too. He forgave us for our sins. And the scripture, it tells us what we must do after he's forgiven us of those sins. Go and sin no more. But this is a great demonstration of the kindness of our Lord Jesus. So willing to forgive. You know, if he had wanted to, he had every right to stone that woman because he had no sin, but he had no desire to do that. We serve a kind Savior. Let's look at another example in the scriptures of the Lord's kindness. Luke chapter 22. And we're going to be going down to verse 39 in the 22nd chapter of Luke. This took place right at a time, right before Jesus would be put on trial. And they had just had the Passover. And Jesus had gone to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. It tells us in verse 39 of Luke 22, And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus knew what he was about to have to do, how he would be put on trial, how he would be whipped and scourged, how they would place a crown of thorn upon his head, how he would be crucified and hung on a cross. And he was willing to do all of that for us. And yet, you know, knowing how painful it would be, he was just asking if there's any way. But it was the Lord's will that all that happened, and he willingly did it for us. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now that is agony. Agony unlike anything we've ever felt. Agony because he was going to have to bear the sins of each and every one of us upon that cross. Jesus, who had never sinned himself, was going to take our sins upon him so that we might be forgiven those sins. He paid the price for us. And that, of course, is a great act of kindness as well. In fact, the greatest act of kindness in the history of the world. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. You know, it's important to have a regular prayer life. If you don't have a regular prayer life, you're going to have a hard time resisting temptation. We're strengthened when we pray. And while he yet spake, behold, the multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And, you know, they were wondering, do we need to fight? They've come to take Jesus. And of course, that wasn't the will of the Lord either. But verse 50 tells us, And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And of course, we know from other gospels that that was Peter who did that, impetuous Peter. He didn't even wait for the Lord to answer. He just drew his sword and smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And in all likelihood, that servant, he probably ducked. Peter was probably aiming for his head, but he ducked down and Peter got his ear. But what happens next is amazing. This mob had come to take Jesus away, to put him on trial, with plans to put him to death. And this servant of the high priest was a part of that. By all rights, you could say that these were the malicious enemies of the Lord Jesus. Yet, it tells us in verse 51, And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. This angry mob came to carry Jesus away, put him on trial, and yet he still healed this man's ear. What an amazing, incredible thing. What an act of kindness. And I'm sure that that servant never forgot that day. We don't know what became of him, but I tell you what, any time you're touched by the Lord Jesus, that has a lasting impact on your life. And to be healed by him, when you had come as part of a mob to carry him off, you know, that is not something an ordinary person would do, even if they had the ability. That is completely above and beyond and contrary to human nature. And I am thankful that Jesus Christ is contrary to human nature. So he healed this man. You know, it's one thing to be kind to people who you like, your friends, your family, your acquaintances. It's one thing to be kind to them. But are you willing to be kind to people you don't like? Are you willing to be kind to people who perceive you as your enemy, as their enemy? Jesus was kind to people who didn't even deserve it. Of course, none of us deserve it, but you could say that this man especially didn't deserve it. And we need to follow his example. We need to practice kindness towards everyone. What I'd like to do now is go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. And we're going to see how very important it is for us to have kindness towards others. Matthew chapter 25, going down to verse 31, it tells us, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." And of course, we know that Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. And in this world, you're either a sheep or a goat. The day is coming when Jesus Christ is going to divide the sheep from the goats. "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." You know, when you act kindly towards other people, it's as if you're doing it for the Lord Jesus himself. When you give a thirsty man a drink of water, it's as if you're giving the Lord Jesus that drink of water. It is so important that we act kindly towards not only our friends, but everyone we encounter in our day-to-day lives. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?" In other words, they're saying, we don't remember any of that. "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as he did it not to one of the least of these, he did it not to me." There are great consequences to pay for being neglectful towards other people, for not helping when you have the opportunity to do so. Should always help others if we can, if we're able to. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." That's how important kindness is. Without kindness in your life, you will have everlasting punishment. But if you're kind, even as our Savior was kind, you know, righteous. Your righteousness will lead you into life eternal, an eternity in heaven, an eternity with the Lord Jesus. I'd like to go to one more portion of Scripture in closing. 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained a like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And what Peter is going to do in his chapter, he is going to advise us on what we must do, how we need to behave ourselves as Christians. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, if you follow these steps that he's about to outline for us, we can be partakers of that divine nature. You know, the word Christian means Christ-like, and most people in this world aren't quite Christ-like. People want to go around proclaiming themselves to be Christians. And really, I feel like I'm unworthy to call myself a Christian. Rather, I'm aspiring to be a Christian. I want to be like Jesus, but I know that sometimes I fail. But he is perfecting us. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And we can escape that corruption to the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So we see how each of these traits build upon each other, and we need to have all of these. If we want to receive those exceeding great and precious promises, if we want to be partakers of that divine nature, we need to follow these steps. And one of those very important steps is kindness, brotherly kindness. And of course, that kindness will lead to charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And of course, this chapter fits in very well with Ephesians chapter 4. We have to put off that old man. We need to make sure that we behave in a manner befit of a Christian, that we try our hardest to be as much like Christ as we possibly can be. I know I'm aspiring to be a Christian. I hope I get there someday. That's my goal. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. If ye do these things, if you follow these verses, if you take them to heart, if you embrace them and apply them to your lives, you will never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you do these things, if you embrace these things, if you apply them to your lives, you will gain entrance into that everlasting kingdom, that city whose builder and maker is God, where we will be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. I want that. I hope you all want that too. Praise the Lord. That's my message for today. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy scriptures. We thank thee for the many lessons thou hast taught us. We thank thee for setting the example for us. We thank thee for thy loving kindness. We ask, O God, that these words would not leave our hearts, but that they would sink down deep into our hearts, that we would fully embrace them and apply these words to our lives and act upon them. We ask, O God, that there would be a noticeable difference in our lives and that thy Spirit would move upon each and every one of us. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
We'll close with a chorus. I don't know if, Mom, if you feel up to playing the piano or not, but we will sing 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer.